Hi, I'm Hillary Walsh, a serial entrepreneur, award-winning immigration lawyer, law professor, TEDx speaker, and raving Phoenix Suns fan. Over the past decade, I've helped thousands of immigrants live free in the United States. I'm talking work permits, social security numbers, green cards, their citizenship, VAWA, T visa, U visa, and lots of successful appeals. Here's the thing. Immigration law is super complicated, and legal advice, well, it can be pretty expensive. So I created the Immigration Law Made Easy podcast to share my 10 plus years of experience with you for free. So if you're looking for tried and true, no BS, step-by-step strategies and tips on how to win your immigration case and live truly free in the United States, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. All right, welcome back to Immigration Law Made Easy. I'm attorney Hillary. I am here today to talk to you about a really important kind of transformation that's happening in immigration law. And it's called the Laken-Riley Act. The Laken-Riley Act was just passed in the Senate unanimously, which means I'm recording this on January 21st, by the way. By the time that this recording comes out, it may already be law, but it's passed in the Senate, which means it goes over to the House now. So for the House of Representatives to vote on whether to pass this Laken-Riley Act, and then it would go to the president, and most certainly the president would sign it because it's pretty harsh for undocumented immigrants. And today I want to dive into kind of two things. First is I want to talk to you about, you know, why this is a concern for me and why this act, why this potential new law is so troubling. And that's because it can just basically be made on accusations. Then if you're arrested or charged with one of the qualifying crimes, you're subject to mandatory detention. So that's number one, is kind of like accepting and appreciating and recognizing that it's not if you are convicted of one of these crimes, it's that if you're simply arrested for or charged with. And then the second piece I want to talk to you about today is what mandatory detention means. So you can really understand and appreciate how significant this is and why it's such a bad thing in reality, like in real life. I think on paper, I want to say to begin with, the Laken-Riley Act is named after a woman who was murdered by an undocumented person. And it is so sad that these types of things happen. And her family has said that they did not want her passing to be, her murder really, to be used as a political weapon. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is by her name being tied to this for the rest of immigration law history, we will know about this once it is enacted. That's not happening. It's definitely very political. So I see where they're coming from. I cannot imagine what it's like to be a parent or a loved one of someone who is murdered or harmed or, you know, significantly injured in any way by another person. And so my heart has empathy for the loss of life, but I also know that I come to you today not only as a wife and a mother and a human and a sister, but I come to you as an immigration lawyer who very much loves our Constitution. And so the focus of this podcast today really is on the legal impact of what happens when we create laws in an emotional response, because people should be emotional and people should be upset by any time someone is murdered. And if we don't think through the consequences as lawmakers, we can actually create more problems than the ones that we're trying to solve. And so that's why it's really important for us to be thoughtful. And I do not think that our lawmakers have been very thoughtful in the way they've created this law. So let's walk through this. So under the Laken-Riley Act, if you are charged with or arrested for, or you admit to doing, or you're convicted, kind of any of those things, if you're caught with the bag in your hand, basically, you're subject to mandatory detention. And it's for things like theft, shoplifting. Let me see, I've got my list here. Burglary, larceny, assault of a law enforcement officer, or any crime resulting in the death of another or serious bodily injury. So what I want to focus on is, number one, what does it mean to be arrested for or charged with one of these crimes? Let's use shoplifting. I want to use an example that will really help you appreciate how low of the bar it is to be arrested for something. So we already know, just I'm going to headline this by saying, we already know that people call the police and people call the law. I'm from Kansas, so we say the law anytime we're talking about law enforcement or the cops or a sheriff or anything like that. People call the law to use the law as a way to control other people. I'm going to call the cops on you. If you raise your voice at me like that, I'm going to call the cops on you. This is something that people do. I have never personally watched that happen, but I know this is things that people do. And it's especially something that people already do against undocumented people. I have filed thousands of VAWA cases where the family member is saying, I'm going to call ICE on you if you don't do what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to call the cops on you and tell them that you beat me. Who do you think they're going to believe? Me, a U.S. citizen, me, a lawful permanent resident, or you, someone who's illegally here, a man, or whatever it might be. Sorry, I'm getting kind of like, I got to get this angry energy out of me. I'm just so fired up about this. We already know this happens. We know that that's why people stay in really difficult relationships, because their partner is saying, I'm going to get a family lawyer. And when we get divorced, I'm going to call ICE on you and they're going to deport you and you're never going to see your kids again. That's using the law as a tool to manipulate and control the other person. And so I'm going to use this example here that is not far-fetched at all. And I really wish that it were far-fetched. I wish this were not a reality that we're going to face. But under the Lake and Riley Act, we could just imagine an undocumented woman in a CVS in Alabama, in Mississippi, in Kansas, where I'm from, here in Arizona, where I'm at right now. Imagine an undocumented woman and someone sees her. And as she goes to leave the CVS, calls the cops on her and says that she shoplifted. They saw her put something in her purse when she left. And then she left and didn't pay for it. The police could easily arrest her. The police likely would arrest her. They're not going to do an investigation of the whole crime on the spot. That's not what the police's job is, to investigate everything. It is totally possible for the police to arrest her, take her in, ask her some questions, and figure out what's going on. That simple act of her being arrested for shoplifting from a CVS, even if it's completely made up, or maybe the clerk, maybe it's not made up. Maybe they really thought they saw her steal something. Maybe they really thought that they saw her put something in her purse. Either way, it's a mistake. It's a mistaken thing. It didn't happen. It doesn't matter. Under the Lake and Riley Act, it doesn't matter if it didn't happen. What matters is that she was arrested. It doesn't matter if the cops end up just letting her go. She was arrested. Because she was arrested for shoplifting, let's say that it was a candy bar. Let's say it was my favorite candy bar, which is a Snickers. Second favorite is a Reese's. If she is arrested because she shoplifted as a single candy bar, allegedly. The clerk says, I saw her put a candy bar in her purse and she didn't pay for it. The police arrest her for this. She's subject to mandatory detention. Period. Dot. End of story. She's required by this law to go to the Immigration Detention Center for the duration of her immigration case. And as you know, T visas are like the fastest cases on the market right now. So 18 and a half months from the time you file it is around the time frame that you're going to get an adjudication, a decision. A U visa is like 20 years. An appeal for a normal asylum case can take upwards of 4 years, even if you're detained. I've done those cases. I've had clients be subject to mandatory detention, and we had to fight every step of the way, and then we win and they go home. Most people don't want to be detained that long, and so they give up and they essentially allow their own deportation, because detention by design is not comfortable. It's not nice. It's jail. It's another word for jail. In fact, it's another word for prison. Because out here, whew, I'm getting all fired up again. Out here, La Palma Detention Center, it used to be La Palma Prison. It is a prison that they put a new sign on that now says it's an ICE facility. It's a prison. So imagine, and you don't know how long it's you're going to be there for. When you're in prison, you have a guess. You have an anticipated time of release if you're going to be released. With an immigration case, you're just subject to mandatory detention. It can go on and on. You do not have, like, you're running an endlessly long race. And so that's my really big concern. And let's talk about the thing about mandatory detention. What does mandatory detention really mean? So there are certain cases, certain situations where if you have, usually it's been charged with or convicted of a crime, or there's a certain presumption that you've committed a certain crime, you're subject to mandatory detention. Usually these are things like aggravated felonies. They can be crimes involving moral turpitude and drug-related crimes. Crimes involving violence, crimes of violence, you're subject to mandatory detention. But now this is broadening things to if you are arrested for and even later released, you're taken to the 5-0 picks you up and takes you to the police station after arresting you and then releases you. You are subject to mandatory detention, which means the judge cannot grant you a bond. It doesn't matter how sympathetic of a case you have. It doesn't matter if you are the most wonderful person in the whole wide world and that this is just a racist thing that somebody did to you and they falsely accused you and the cops arrested you, because the cops are simply doing their job. They're trying to arrest people who've been accused of crimes. If that happens, my friend, the undocumented person is going to be subject to mandatory detention. Now, this is related to grounds of inadmissibility. So from my initial read of this, it doesn't seem like lawful permanent residents are going to be faced with this, because you would have to be faced with a ground of deportation. But this is for folks who are applying for their green card. You don't have residency yet. Maybe your green card is pending. It's a ground of inadmissibility. And so this could be hugely problematic for people. And again, it's not, I'm not saying we should just let people commit crimes. I'm not saying that we should, you know, allow people to shoplift or commit theft or larceny or, God forbid, burglary or assault on a law enforcement officer or anything that results in death or serious bodily injury. I'm on board with the law and order that is important. But what is different here is when we go to criminal court, the prosecutor has to prove that you did with beyond a reasonable doubt that you did what they're saying you did. Here, you just have to be arrested for it. You could be completely innocent. This could be just a huge mistake, but you're going straight to the detention center. And so I'm really troubled. I'm gonna kind of conclude here. I'm really troubled by this. Because I have seen in so many different cases where people use the law, use law enforcement, use ICE as a way to hurt other people. And so I'm really worried about the negative consequences that could come from something like this. And so that's my hot take. That is my input on the forthcoming. It's soon to be enacted, inevitably to be enacted. And they're trying to, like, the last I heard was they were trying to put a pathway to a green card for folks who have DACA. They were trying to roll that in here. Man, either way, I would hate to see an opportunity for Dreamers to be able to get their green card. But I really wish that someone would stand up and say, this is too broad. Police mistakenly arrest people all the time. Look at all the cases that are brought in criminal court. They end up not even being prosecuted because the prosecution recognizes that they don't have enough evidence to get a conviction. So they're not going to prosecute. But just an arrest. You don't even have to be charged with it. You just have to be arrested for it. So anyway, my friends, this is the troubling state that we are in. It's going to be a long 4 years. If something like this happens to you, or someone is threatening you, or someone's trying to manipulate you in this way, please contact me, because I can help you. I'm not sure how. I'd have to ask you a lot of questions, but I'm committed to trying to do my very best to help you. I love my country. I love my constitution, and I love my immigrant community. So thank you so much. This is all for today. And share with a friend if this is helpful for you as we go into this new season of Trump 2.0. My friend, I'm so glad you joined me today. If you have a friend or family member who may need some immigration law guidance or even just day-to-day encouragement, please send them a text or email or a DM on social media and say, hey, I think this podcast is going to help you. I sure wish someone had given me the tips I'm sharing here years and years ago when I was starting out as an immigration lawyer. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Adios.